My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Entrepreneur turned animal advocate Niall Harbison swapped the corporate world for a life dedicated to saving street dogs in Thailand. His new book is called Tina, subtitled The Dog Who Changed the World, and it tells an extraordinary tale of one very special dog who changed his life and, as a result, the lives of thousands more. And Niall Harbison is with me in the studio. Niall, good morning and welcome.
How are you?
The last time we met was in my kitchen, I think.
I don't even want to think how many years ago that was. Yeah.
And that was at a time when you were a tech entrepreneur and you were a brilliant chef as well.
Yeah, in my previous life, I used to work in the corporate world as well and ditched it, threw it all in to go and live on a beach in Thailand.
You were well ahead of your time. I remember you were working on a corporate yacht and you would do cooking and put it online. One hand you had the skillet and the other hand you had the iPhone.
Yeah, I think that was 2008 or 2007.
A long time
ago. Yeah, different time.
Now, you've had many adventures and I suppose some misadventures since then. What soured the corporate world for you?
I think just I was always, well, first, predominantly, I was an alcoholic and I suffered from depression and anxiety and I was a functioning alcoholic. So I was, you know, relatively successful and did my thing in business, but I was miserable, really. I was always, you know, battling addiction and I just wanted out of the sort of rat race or the, you know, get out of and find a sort of meaning in life. But I went to Thailand to try and sort of live a happier existence.
And were you detoxed at that point?
No, the idea was to go there and get, but I had one final kick of the drink of the bottle, literally, and I ended up in hospital. So I was in ICU for 4 days. This is 4.5 years ago, and I nearly drank myself to death. But that was luckily the rock bottom. That was the kick up the arse I needed.
And were you in Thailand in hospital?
Yeah.
So that would not necessarily be the first world medical service.
Actually, it was because they have had insurance, and it was actually probably nearly better than the medical care here, funnily enough. But it was, look, I was coming off a serious amount of alcohol, so it wasn't enjoyable in any way.
No. Now, what was it when you're lying on your hospital bed that makes you think there's something else I must do? And then how did you find that thing?
Well, it was like a movie or something. I thought I was going to die because, you know, they're hooking, they're pumping stuff into my veins. And like, I really thought I was going to die. And when I was there dying, I said, right, I'm going to die in 10 minutes. Like, my heart's done here. And all I could think about was my dog Snoop, who I loved. And I remember thinking about playing football as an 8-year-old, you know, I was heading in a goal or whatever it was. And those were the two things I could, I wasn't thinking about a promotion or a a new iPhone or a pair of runners.
The things that were worthwhile came to your mind.
Exactly. It was crystal clear. Now, I didn't go out the next day and start saving dogs. It was about a six-month process of rehabilitation and sorting my head out. But I just remember thinking, God, there's more to life. You know, I was like, if I die right here, what's people will forget you in about 2 weeks. You know, like you haven't actually done anything meaningful. So
how did you come to the street dogs? I mean, they're everywhere, obviously, in Thailand.
Yeah, there's 10 million street dogs in Thailand, which is insane. But I always loved dogs. And I literally, there was no great sign. I just started feeding one dog on my way home from football. And then I went back the next day and started feeding her again. And it grew. And then we're up to the point now where we feed 1,250 every day. So with a kitchen and using the chefing skills, we make fresh food for them and everything. So
now it's only a drop in the ocean in a sense with so many millions of street dogs and you're managing to feed some of them. But you do take on the hardest cases, don't you?
We do. Like we do dogs, we've just opened our hospital, so we're treating dogs there. But what we focus a big amount of our time on is sterilizing, which is not glamorous. That's neutering or spaying the dog. So it's getting the population.
Where are you now? I think the latest number I saw was 70,000.
Yeah, I think we're 80,000. I just saw this morning. So,
and that's to make sure there are no more unwanted puppies from those dogs, at least.
Yeah, it's probably very hard for people to understand here, like, why is that so important? But there's just so many. And then because there's so many, they get hit by cars and cruelty and disease. Yeah. And so the really boring stuff that we have to do is vaccines, sterilizing, stuff like that. The exciting bit that everybody loves following online is, you know, the makeovers and finding a puppy and that sort of stuff.
Now, this book, it's named after Tina, who's quite an extraordinary dog. Tina's life up to the time you found her was absolutely miserable.
Yeah, miserable. We were just talking, you'd seen the photo in the book. I think the best way is, you know, you could even see the photo online. She's the most miserable looking dog you could
absolutely,
you know,
and
imagine.
She looked like she might have had scabies. She was skinny. She was worn to a frazzle.
And it takes a lot to break a dog's spirit. But, her, you know, you could see her face is broken. But she was on a chain. She'd been bred maybe 6 or 7 litters of puppies. But we rescued her. She nearly died the first night I had her. Shock to the system of giving her food.
You were too kind.
Yeah, I was. I was a little bit inexperienced at the time because I was so new to it. And I said, I'll give her a good feed, you know. And there's a thing called refeeding syndrome where you're too thin and the food goes in. And she bloated up. Just gas. And we had to literally put a pin in her and it came out. But I nearly killed her the first night. But she bounced back and she was the most remarkable dog. If anybody's had a golden retriever, they probably know, you know.
Now, she bonded with you almost instantly. She seemed to understand what you were doing for her. That even though she must have been treated unkindly by humans.
Yeah, she definitely was. And I think that's why I just sort of fell in love with her so much. She
is hot sleep keeping you awake? The Tempur-Breeze mattress pulls heat away from your body to help you sleep cool. Shop our Memorial Day sale and save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets only at Tempur-Pedic.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Just, you know, dogs live in the moment, and she embraced that. She'd never had freedom, but she would come on my moped. She'd jump up onto, you know, into my arms. She wouldn't want to be on her own. She was just like a big, goofy, you know, soft, gentle angel.
From the time you found her in what was left of that puppy farm to the time when she was able to, you know, thrive? How long did it take?
I'd say 2 or 3 months. We got her built up. And again, if you see that, you wouldn't recognize the two dogs.
Absolutely. The pictures are night and day.
Yeah, choking. She's unbelievable recovery. And she just got better. And I was already, you know, thinking of adopting her and planning and everything. And then I got the phone call. She'd gone for a routine check, you know, because she was still recovering. And I got the phone call, and it's, you know, one of those phone calls where you get and you'll, or like 9/11 or something, where you always remember where you were. I just remember the call, and it was, she'd got kidney failure. She'd 2 months to live at most. And my heart was broken because here she'd just come back and she was loving
and
life.
And she followed you everywhere. If you went walking, she was right at your heel.
Everywhere. I used to go around feeding the other dogs or helping the sick dogs, and she'd be like a nurse, sort of. She'd be in checking on them, and she was a real character.
So how long did she last?
I don't think she even made the 2 months. I think it was maybe 6 weeks. And I used to sit with her on a drip for 8 hours every night to try and extend her life and everything. But she lived right until the last moment. She loved her life, and she was a real, real happy character.
And you knew her end was near when she just didn't get up to her feet to go for a walk with you. You left for a walk and...
Yeah, she used
for the
to.
First time.
It was the first time ever. I walked out and she didn't follow me. And I was like... I knew she was done. And I think that was maybe 3 or 4 in the evening, and the next morning she was done. But we set it up really nice. I have a little hammock, and we put on a bit of Elton John and Van Morrison, and she sat down and she was nearly sort of half dead already, and she just slipped away, and it was as peaceful. She was as happy as could be. So
she and you bonded so intensively. I mean, your upset was palpable. People who don't know what you do, I mean, you're running this dog rescue center in Thailand, but you also post videos of what you do online, which is very, very effective in getting a worldwide audience for you.
Yeah, it's good. I try and put it, like when I started it, I'd come from the media background and I said, I don't want to be in videos. I don't want to, you know, I want to make videos of the dogs. And it was also, I think it was COVID, tail end of COVID. There was like the Ukraine war, American politics, you know, like everything was bad, negative, as it probably still is. And I said, I'll try and put something positive out in the world. So I just made videos talking about the dogs and showing their, building little characters out of them. And I think it puts a smile on people's face.
Telling the good stories, because many of them thrive after you've treated them.
They do, yeah. And there's like, we've rehomed 85. There's dogs in Cork, Washington, England, all over the world. So it's they're the fun little part of what we do.
Some of the texts coming in. What an extraordinary human being Niall Harbison is. What he's doing for dogs, truly amazing. I wonder what he makes of the terrible way racing and hair coursing greyhounds can be treated in this country.
Do you know what? I probably shouldn't say this because it's been at the back of my mind for a while. When I get Thailand up and running, I'd love to come back and do something about the greyhound racing here, because I think they get 19 million a year in funding, and seems mental to me that they'd be funding that from the government rather than giving it to charities. But that's for another day. I'm busy at the moment.
The tears are flowing down my cheeks listening to that wonderful man. We could do with him in this country to get rid of the puppy farms, which is a phenomenon here, which is unacceptable. But
yeah, it's a bit more, it's kind of like it's hidden, really, isn't it? You don't see it as much.
There can be dozens of breeding bitches on these farms, and you know, there's no socialization properly of many of the dogs.
But on the other hand, 99% of dogs in this country they're treated like royalty. I think you were telling me about your dog.
I follow Niall on Instagram and downloaded his latest audiobook last night. He reads it with such love, compassion and humility. Keep going, Niall. The world and the dogs need you. That's Helen from Cork. What a man. Pity more people can't be half as kind as him. God bless him. So you've got huge numbers of fans here and, of course, across the water as well.
My head will be very big now after hearing all that. I won't be able to walk out the door. No, that's lovely messages. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you were involved with Liam Gallagher as well, most famously, I suppose. He has one of your dogs.
He does. And it came out, it's funny, actually. I don't know if I have time to tell this, but an application came in and it said Liam Gallagher, you know, on a spreadsheet. And I was like, this is somebody, you know, winding me up back home, and it said occupation singer, you know, so I was like, Jesus, who's this? But then I checked it out, his wife, but I said, what do we do? Like, we have to get him, we have to vet him, you know, you can't just give the dog to anybody. So we did a Zoom call, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm going on a Zoom call here with Liam Gallagher. But he came on then, And he knew every character. I thought maybe the wife had got, you know, pulled his celebrity in to maybe get the dog. But no, it was, he was saying, he was like, oh, Jesus, that Jumbo's a mad guy, isn't he? And so he'd been watching them all himself. So very surreal, very surreal.
Now, the whole business of funding the operation, I mean, you get donations and now you've built a hospital. That hospital is open.
We've got a field hospital, so we're building a big hospital. And what we did is we opened one while the big one has been built. So, yeah, we're treating animals in there.
But your new one, the one that's being built, that is very fancy. I mean, it's really top quality.
And we're running into, like, regulation and all those sort of things. It's so hard to build a hospital. But that's why we opened the field one, to get stuffed animals treated. But yeah, we're funding, like, we feed 10 or 1,000 every day, the sterilizing. It's a big operation, but Tina inspired me to do that, to think big, because I just saw her suffering, and I said, I promised her literally when she was dying, I said, look, I'm going to change the world for you and save as many of your friends as I can. So,
and Tina's inspiration, the way she lived her life, that inspired you
too. She made me, you know, I always would have been a bit scared about funding or different things. And then when she died, I remember burying her and I said to myself, right, feck it, I'm going to not be scared and I'm just going to live every day as if it's my last, you know?
Yeah. You've had a few more characters come along, though, and not to replace Tina, but kind of echo maybe some of the things that happened to her. Dogs in bad shape that you've resuscitated, really.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, I mean, the little characters like McMuffin, she had cancer. With Brad Pitt, I like to give them funny little names that people can follow online. So there's dogs that, I mean, those are the good news stories. I try to just put a smile on people's faces. And
then the intermix, those that don't quite make it. This Alba.
Yeah, Alba was a wonderful little dog. She only lived for 2 weeks, but I think we all grew to love her an awful lot.
Even though she had 2 weeks, she had she was loved for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I try and give them a bit of dignity. I put little bandanas on them, and they're street dogs, but, you know, they're no different to a pet that anybody listening has at home. They love food, they love a bit of attention, and my mission is, like, I think humans are responsible for neglecting dogs in general. Like, we do a lot of things. So I think my mission is to just try and save as many of them as possible.
It's a big task.
It is. It's big, but we're getting there.
The book is fabulous. Now, it's really great. It's called Tina, The Dog Who Changed the World. And it's available everywhere. It's published by Element, but you'll find it in every bookshop, in every airport, wherever you go. You will see this. Tina, writ large, with a picture of Niall and Tina on the cover. Niall Harbison, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa HS for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.